So, this is, for those of you who are new, this is called a Teisho, which is actually a Zen talk. And it is essentially another form of Zazen. It comes from the Zazen space. So the person giving the Teisho has, just like everyone in this room, done Zazen, gone into their center, and then hopefully is able to, from that center, speak about this process. So Zazen, obviously, is the main practice we're doing here, but Kinhin is another form of Zazen. And I wanted to spend a little time tonight on that and then how it ties in with what we're actually doing here. So everyone here has had instruction on Zazen. And some of the new folks have had a little bit of instruction on Kinhin. And it might be easy because we do Kinhin only for 6 minutes, and we do Zazen for 25 minutes, sometimes 30, that Kinhin is maybe less important, or a way of stretching your legs, a way of taking a break from Zazen, but it actually isn't that at all. Kinhin is a very powerful form of Zazen that is so important to our practice. It is our opportunity in a safe environment with like-minded friends, having just completed a period of going deep inside in this process called Zazen, to take that mind state and bring it into a movement activity of walking. Now, if we can do that, and it is not easy, it is difficult to do, but the better we can do that, the more easily we can take this space of Zazen that we're exploring in the Zendo and bring it into our everyday life, which we must do. That is an essential part of Zen practice. So I want to say just a little bit about Kinhin. When we are doing Kinhin, if you're doing any kind of breath practice, like counting the breath or following the breath, which many people are, it's a very, very powerful practice. When you do Kinhin, I would like you to let go of that and simply become one with the walking. If your practice is Shikantaza, which is an advanced practice of just plunging into the present moment without any particular focal point except for what is actually happening in the mind and body and room and environment at that moment, then naturally you're doing Kinhin exactly that way. When you get up to do Kinhin, you have not left your Shikantaza space. You are continuing your Shikantaza. Now, the one time we merge our practice with Kinhin is when we're working with a koan. So if we're working with a koan, like mu or hu or whatever koan, we continue that deep question while we walk. We bring the walking into that question. It's not excluded, but we keep the question primary in the mind. But for most of us here, when we get up to do Kinhin, we are just doing Kinhin. Now, what does it mean to just do Kinhin? Kinhin is walking. So when you're just doing Kinhin, you're just walking. Now, you're already just walking. So you're actually not doing anything extra. You're simply walking. How strange that the simplest thing can be so difficult. Now, why is it difficult? Because our minds are continually working. And one of the ways the mind works is it's always looking for a way to improve its situation, to avoid pain, to figure out a problem that's happening somewhere else, to extract itself from the monotony of its present moment, perhaps. So it's very difficult to just walk when the mind, after having been pinned down by your Zazen, gets released into a movement. The mind can start to really get active during Kinhin. So that you're starting to think about what you're going to do next, whether the parking meter ran out, and by the way, you don't have to pay them after 6 o'clock, so don't worry about that. All sorts of things come up. Am I walking right? Am I walking like everybody else? Now, what is this supposed to mean? See, all the ways the mind starts to work, which is wonderful because this is the laboratory where you learn to let go of all of that. It's two beautiful words in Zen practice, put down. You don't have to do anything with the machinations of the brain and all the little trickery of the mind. All you have to do is notice it and put it down or let it go and come back to the actuality of the present moment. That is Zen practice, pure and simple. It's very, very simple. Now you notice nowhere in here did I ever mention a belief that you need to maintain, some kind of magical thinking, some being somewhere looking down on you. None of that is necessary for this practice. Matter of fact, I would say, if you have any belief about this practice, it's getting in your way already. Already getting in your way. Now, it was a wonderful, wonderful Zen master about 800 years ago. He lived in Japan and his name was Dogen. And Dogen was one of the real shining lights of Zen. And he spoke and wrote some things about Zen practice that have survived the test of time and are so powerful and beautiful and elegant and simple that even today, here in 2014, someone here who's practiced Zen for a while is going to tell you his words. That's how powerful his words are. Now, he said many, many things, but this is one of the most precious things he said. He said, to practice Zen, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit because I probably don't know the precise translation from Japanese, but he said, to practice Zen is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be enlightened by all things, and that enlightenment goes on and on forever. To study Zen is to study the self. Now you notice he didn't say, to study Zen is to improve the self. He did not say, to study Zen is to change the self. He said, to study Zen, he did not say, to study Zen is to help the self, protect the self, enhance the self, aggrandize the self. None of those things. Those are the ordinary ways in which we use our mind. We use our mind to protect the self, to avoid pain, to enhance ourselves, to get friends, to have achievements, and all these things are incredibly important. That's your everyday human life. But we get stuck there. We don't realize that it isn't the real world. It's a world of maps and comparison, strategies, all very, very important for survival. But why are we here? Because it didn't do it for us. Many, many people who come to this practice, I can't say everyone, but many people come here because there's a sense that something's lacking. There's something in that ordinary endeavor of life that isn't leading to happiness, clarity, peace of mind, simple enjoyment of each moment as it comes. There's a sense of something lacking. Sense that we need to be better than we are and we need to change something, something we have to let go of, all these things. And we bring that into the Zendo. But this practice is very different. This practice lets go of all of that. It doesn't give you techniques to achieve those things. It gives you techniques to put down all of that, put it all down. So Dogen said to do Zen practice, to do this practice, is to study the self. That means to observe the self, observe it clearly, not make any effort to change it. I would say when you're observing, you're actually embracing, meaning you are allowing it exactly as it is into your space of awareness. There's no effort to change it. There's no effort to figure it out. There's no effort to understand it. You are creating a space in which you wrap your arms around it. You totally allow it. When you completely allow something, then you can put it down. Because it becomes irrelevant. If it's completely allowed, it's irrelevant. So this moment is unfolding. It happened. I'm aware of it, it happened. There were many, many things that led up to this moment, starting from the very beginning of time. Until this very moment, through the entire fabric of space-time, leading to this precise configuration of my body, my mind, my thoughts, my feelings, the room, the incense smell, the sound of the cars, the sound of this person's voice speaking, all of those things. At the moment I am aware of them, I have noticed something that was prepared, created from the very beginning through a fabric incredibly complex, beyond anybody's ability to completely wrap their minds around it, of cause and effect, karma. Therefore, I must wrap my arms around it because that's the way it happened. The moment I become aware of anything, it has happened. In the Zendo, this is in the real world. This is the world of now. Not the world of what's going to happen in the next minute or the next day or the next week. Not what happened 5 years ago and what someone said to me, which I remember in a certain way, which is not exactly the way it happened. Here we're talking about the real world. In the real world, what I become aware of is what had to happen at that moment. Therefore, I put down my effort to fight it, change it, figure it out, manipulate it. I'll leave that for some other time. Here in the Zendo, I am going to study it. Study it means be aware of it. Be aware of it. Now, this thing that I'm going to be aware of is a very, very, very big thing. It includes the moon, the sun, the stars, the sky, the earth, trees, air, gravity, all the subatomic particles, all the processes in my body, all the thoughts coursing through my mind, all the feelings in my body, all the sounds in the room. It's a very big thing I'm studying, this self. It's a really big self. It's difficult to study all of that all together. You can. That's called Shikantaza. And I would be so joyful to eventually teach every single person in this room how to do Shikantaza when you're ready to do that. But what we do is we narrow it down. We just take a chunk of it. We break off a chunk. It's all one thing, but I'm going to look at just this number one. Just this number two. Why? Because the rest of it is, in a sense, irrelevant. I don't need to deal with all of it. I don't need to do anything about it. What I want to do right now is learn to study. I'm going to study one thing. One. Two. Three. Thoughts come in, that's fine. Thoughts come in. Four. Thoughts go out. Five. No problem. Sound in the street. Six. Smell of incense. Seven. It's all one thing anyway. I'm just noticing more intently one piece of this entire big thing, which is my big whole self in this moment. When I get really good at that count, I let it go and just notice the actual breath. I can't find the dividing line between the breath and my body, between my body and the cushion, between the cushion and the floor, between the floor and gravity, between gravity and the stars. I can't find the dividing line. Perhaps it's somewhere, but I don't know where it is. I can't locate it. This is studying the self intently, intently. Now, it is done intently. That's a key aspect of this Zazen practice. It's not done soporifically. If you were looking for practice to help you relax and sleep better, maybe that will be a byproduct, but you won't be finding it in the Zendo because that's not what we do here. This is very alert and intent. All the senses are working. The eyes are open. Your ears are working. Your nose is working. You're sensing everything. And you're intently aware with your body taut. Taut so that you can stay alert. Stay deeply plunged. Plunged into the present moment. Jumping into the deep end, sometimes I say. You jump into the deep end of the present moment. Swim in it. Dive in it. Feel it. This is studying the self. Studying the self is observation, what is called mindfulness, attentiveness, attention. Now, we do this. Why do we do this? It naturally leads to the next step which Dogen spoke about. He said to study Zen, or to study Buddhism, I believe that was his actual words. Same difference. Buddhism is the practice of becoming a Buddha. A Buddha is simply someone who has transcended duality and found out what they really are, which is this one whole big thing. And we ourselves are Buddhas. We're sleeping Buddhas. We're not aware of it. The Buddha just woke up to what he always was. That's why I said, if I didn't already have Buddhahood, Dipankara Buddha, who was one of the prehistoric Buddhas, many, many eons before Shakyamuni Buddha, was a human being who was born 2,500 years ago, had an awakening. He predicted, he said, if I was not already Buddha from the very beginning, Dipankara Buddha would not have made the prediction regarding me that I would become a Buddha. And the same is true for every single one of us in the room here. So Buddhism is the study of becoming a Buddha. And Zen is the aspect of Buddhism that does what we're doing here. Zen means to absorb. It means to become absorbed, to go deeply into the present moment, which in Dogen's words is studying the self. He said to study the self is to forget the self. What does that mean? Forget this? How can I study the self and forget the self? When you open your mind wide and you study the self, you are no longer fighting with the self. You are no longer protecting the self. You are no longer involved with the stories about the self. The stories happen, but they just pass through. So you're not continually patching up the holes, patching up the mortar that is already falling out of these bricks, which is the edifice of this self that you've created, this idea of yourself. I am this and that kind of person. I am an entity standing apart with characteristics. I have this and that history, this and that beliefs, this and that affiliations, this and that gender, this and that race, whatever it might be, all the identifications. This and that disabilities, this and that difficulties, this and that neuroses, this and that sadness, this and that success, all those things that make us sense that we are not a part of this fabric, but an entity standing apart with characteristics. So when we study the self, that's there too. We study it, we don't fix it. We open up a space for it. And then what happens? This self of constructed characteristics starts to just be not important anymore. It's irrelevant. You're so much bigger. That's there. It's operating. But it's only a tiny part of everything. It's like the smell of the incense. There's a feeling inside. It's a habitual feeling. We call it me. It has certain characteristics. I like some of it, I don't like some of it. That's all right. It's like the sound of the cars. So you develop this dispassionate, very clean, very clear, observing mind. You're able to observe that rather than identify with it. You begin to see that everything in your field of awareness is equal in that way. It's actually equal. Nothing is more important or less important when the mind is not running its tape loops. Everything presents because of causes and conditions. What comes up now had to be that way right now. I'm studying the self. So now I can forget this little self with characteristics that I'm constantly trying to protect or enhance. Now when I begin to do that, and this is natural, this is a natural outcome of this practice, what happens then? Dogen says, to forget the self is to be enlightened by all things. What does that mean, to be enlightened by all things? What is that? What am I? What am I really? What am I really? Not what do I think I am, but what is my actual self? Well, starting with my Zazen, this counting, one, two, I begin to notice that one is exceedingly intimate. Two is exceedingly intimate. only I know it. It is in the deepest center of myself, which is the center of the universe. I have always been in the center of the universe. I have never deviated from the center of the universe. Einstein said that too. He said every point in the universe is the actual center of the universe. I have never deviated from the center of the universe. When I do my zazen, I enter the center of the universe, and everything I experience is brought to that center. How could it not be me? How could it be outside? This is what starts to happen. Little glimmers at times, openings. Sudden realization, oh wow. You're standing there and doing something and you realize you were so absorbed in it that time seemed to disappear and you seem to disappear. And then maybe someday it breaks open really wide. They call that Kensho, awakening. That can happen at any time, you never know when. And this enlightenment goes on forever and ever. It's an endless process of refining it, clarifying it. The old mind wants to come back. Or we become very proud about our achievement in zazen. Oh, I've become so much clearer. Oh, look at these poor people. They don't know what zazen is. That is a very serious problem. That's creating a whole new self around this practice, identifying with it. Exactly the wrong direction. We have to learn to make it invisible. To not make it special. What we're doing here is exceedingly ordinary. Everybody else is special. Everybody else is doing very special things, but we're doing something very ordinary. We're just sitting and plunging into our present moment as it comes. It's nothing special. So that really is, in a sense, the very essence of zazen. So once again, this kinhin. Now, when you do the kinhin, just like I'm saying, you're studying the self, which is forgetting the self, which is being enlightened by your walking. You are walking. You are, not you are walking. You are walking. You are eating. You are watching UConn beat Kentucky. You are these things. More and more, we begin to enter our actual experience, not stand apart from it as an entity with characteristics. Because we realize that everything that presents is the way that it had to be right now. By the time I'm aware of it, it has happened. Therefore, I must embrace it, and I will embrace it. Not only will I embrace it, I'll become intently aware of it, which is studying it. Studying it is making it come to my center. Forgetting my separateness and understanding that everything that happens is already in my center. Therefore, it is enlightening me. The world is enlightening me. My friends are enlightening me. This is this natural process of zazen. So, I would like to open it up for comments and questions, if there are any. And have no hesitation, whatever it might be that maybe seems to be blocking this process for you, or something that I said that isn't clear to you. Please feel free. It's really wonderful that I made things so utterly clear that there are no questions. It's completely grasped. It's fantastic. If true. Now, there is a tradition in Zen practice of what we call Dharma combat. And actually, when I studied many, many years ago at Rochester Zen Center, they had set aside time for Dharma combat. And they would pass around a little incense bowl, and when it got to you, you were it. And you had to speak. And someone could challenge it. And it was very intense. But part of the reason for this, it's not really to get into ego battles with people, it's to develop this spontaneity and a kind of fearlessness, just putting out exactly what's true for you. You know, if there's a question, it comes out. There's no hesitation. So it's an interesting process. It's a way of refining the places that might be stuck, places still holding on to a separateness. So I understand it's difficult to speak sometimes in a group like this, particularly after we've been doing this kind of practice. One of the strange side effects of this practice, especially when you're starting out, I don't know if it's true for everybody, but there sometimes develops for a while, and this is strange. You're saying to study Zen is to study the self is to forget the self. But there's a period of time where you can feel particularly self-conscious. Something about this practice. I believe it's that you're becoming so aware of things that were unconscious before. Thoughts that were running the tape loop underneath. Emotions that you weren't being aware of, that you were maybe pushing away. So as you do this practice, these things naturally come into your awareness because you're learning to open up the space for them. And they'll come up in situations where before you had a plan, you had a strategy, you had a certain self all worked out. And that self starts to crumble a little bit. And sometimes there's self-consciousness. It's a very interesting forward step in your practice. Just for me to point this out, especially for people who are new. Another strange thing that can happen in your zazen is as your concentration starts to deepen, it takes usually a few months of practice, you may begin to experience during deeper parts of your zazen that you'll have strange feelings coming into your body-mind. They may be very powerful emotions. It may be visual hallucinations, including rippling of the wall in front of you or colors. Things that people might experience during what's called sensory deprivation. Mind can suddenly put up these very real phantasmagorical experiences. There's actually a Japanese term for it. It's called makyo. And I can tell you that I was exceedingly grateful to learn about this because I taught myself zazen initially before I met my first Zen teacher many, many years ago, 40 years ago, Philip Kaplow. But before I met Philip Kaplow, I was studying Zen from books, and one of the books was The Three Pillars of Zen, which he wrote. So I was practicing meditation in the library at college, and it was near finals time, and I was really stressed out. And I started to have a very strange sensation where my body was elongating in one plane and then the other plane, back and forth more and more rapidly, to the point where I suddenly got into a complete panic and went running down the street. And I ran down like 10 blocks to my house, and I didn't know what to do. I thought I was going crazy. And I grabbed the Three Pillars of Zen, and I happened to be on the chapter. I opened up the book where it folded the corner. The chapter was on Makyo. And it saved my life. Oh, that's what I just experienced. And then I realized that it was natural. So you may find funny things coming out of this practice. Just be aware that you did not invent them. They are quite well known. This practice has been around for at least 2,500 years, probably many, many thousands of years. And anything that you might experience as a result of the practice, I am certain has been experienced by many excellent, deep, long-term practitioners. So don't worry about any of this stuff. Just take it as another passing entity in your awareness. Don't attach to it. Don't make it special. Don't fight it. Don't be afraid of it. Just come back to the actual practice. That's one last key point to make. No matter what seems to knock you off balance when you're doing zazen, no matter what seems to grab your attention, no matter what thought you get lost in, never do battle with it. Just come back to your practice. That's all. Don't fight it. Put it down and come back to your practice. Okay. So I answered all your questions. I psychically sensed them. All right. So we are just about at the end of the time. So what we do now, and this is for the benefit of a couple of new people here, Susan will pass out the four vows to those who don't have them memorized. And at the end of the night, we chant the four vows with our hands in gassho three times through. This traditional chant in Zen centers and monasteries and temples around the world. These are called the four bodhisattva vows. You may not understand them, but they filter down little by little. They filter down. Don't give them any special meaning. Don't say them with any special emotion. Just chant them. Become one with the chanting. Then you'll hear rapid bells. We'll stand up and face the altar and just bow to the Buddha standing up. And then you'll hear another bell. We bow to each other. And then a couple of other things will be said, and then we put the room back together. Okay, so we'll pass out the four vows.